Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the worship of God this morning. Why don't you turn with me in your sermon notes to our passage this morning, 1 Corinthians 12. We're continuing our study on what it means to be the church. And before I begin, I just want to go through just a quick review of what we've been looking at the last few weeks. So we did look at the church as being the family of God. You know, we looked at the church of how, you know, we can have spiritual unity together. We can experience and exercise spiritual disciplines, and which would result in spiritual impact as we minister together. And we did that, you know, this last Thursday. We spent some time. We came together as a church. We fasted, and we prayed, and we listened to the Lord. We waited upon Him. I want to thank those of you who did come out. It was a time in which, you know, we were enacting and doing what the Bible says. Acts 13, the church came together and fasted and prayed. And we do these things as we seek the Lord's guidance on very specific issues. And if you missed it last Thursday, we'll be having four of these each year. So we'll be having another one at the end of April. So please do come and join us. So not only do we look at the church as being the family of God, we look at the church as being the people of God. You know, we said that you are the church, we are the church, you know, and we can live out God's glory if we do these one another's in the Bible as the New Testament teaches us to do. You know, and I don't know how many of you have been trying to exercise this, but I do hope that you do take time and take God's word to heart and you live it out in your lives. Next thing we looked at was the bride of Christ. We looked at how we are to prepare ourselves as a bride prepares for a bridegroom. Beautifully dressed for a husband. And we prepare ourselves by being sanctified and to be made holy by the Lord. And we continue to allow Him to make us holy. We prepare ourselves by being faithful and devoted unto Jesus Christ. We prepare ourselves as we are spiritually awake and ready. Now, it is our faith. It is our obedience to the Lord. We are not borrowing our faith and obedience from anyone else. It is our relationship personally with the Lord. Last week, we looked at what it means to be a holy temple. You know, the very presence of the living God living in each of our lives, the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, as well as the Spirit of God dwelling in His church. And today, we'll be looking at what it means as a church to be the body of Christ. So if you can take your passage in 1 Corinthians 12 out. I'll be reading from that right now, and then I'll be referring to that as well the rest of the time here this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different gifts, kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. In 1 Corinthians 12, you know, Paul is continuing his rebuke of the factions that are existing in the Corinthian church. You see, they had a distorted view of what spiritual gifts were. They focused on an individual's giftedness. They looked at certain spectacular gifts as more important and of greater value than other gifts. And it's created a lack of unity. It's created and caused a divisive spirit from within the church and among its members. And so Paul here tries to show them, to show the believers at Corinth, that the church is not a body of Christians, but rather the church is a body of Christ, is the body of Christ. I'm going to continue reading from verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all as many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. So what does it mean? What does it mean for us to be the body of Christ? Well, first, we are one body with many parts. We seek unity, not uniformity. Diversity, not division. I mean, just look around us. Just look at the people around us in the sanctuary this morning. Go ahead, just take a look around. Take a good look around. There are many of us who are different. And just as we come from different backgrounds, different personalities, we like different kinds of things. No, unity does not mean uniformity. I mean, just look at Aaron and myself. Aaron, where are you? Aaron, where are you? Oh, there you are. Just look at Aaron and myself, okay? I mean, we're very different. He's kind of like a hipster kind of guy. I mean, he's hip in how he dresses. He's hip and he's cool, you know, all that. You know, and I'm just an old fart. We're different, but yet we're the same. I know we have the same heart. I spent over a year and a half with him in a discipleship group. I know we have the same heart. I know we have the same desire, you know, to want to grow personally in God. And I know we have the same desire to want the church to grow. Now, there are a lot of diversity in this room. Now, each person is unique and beautifully and wonderfully made. And you have a unique contribution to make in the body of Christ. You see, God intends for this diversity in order to accomplish his unified purpose in us as the church. So my encouragement to you is to get involved. You know, even if it doesn't seem like you fit in or that you have anything to offer, you know, get involved. Don't be just a consumer in the church. You know, be a contributor. Don't just be an attender of church on Sunday mornings. Be a member of the church that is here at Fraserlands. You know, as well, we seek to belong to the body and to be a part of it. You know, just because we're different doesn't mean that we cease to be part of the entire body. You see, it's easy for the ear to think that because it's constantly hearing people say how beautiful the eyes are, that it may think the ear isn't important and that the eyes are super important. But both eyes and ears, hands and feet are given their roles in the body. And without them, the body becomes disabled. Now, did you know that the failure of one small valve in our bodies, it can shut down the whole body? Now, there are no unimportant person in the body of Christ. It's foolish for the eye to say to the hand or the head to say to the feet, I have no need of you. And so we're not to flaunt
our gifts. We're not to belittle other people. We're not to envy others. But instead, and we're to humbly accept what we are and who we are in the body of Christ. Verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. What does it mean to be the body of Christ? It means that we are one body with many parts. And second, it means that we are interdependent and interrelated. You know, in a world where individualism, where distinctiveness are highly valued, Paul stresses that our body parts are interdependent, not independent of each other. You know, just as the proper functions of our physical body is important to everything working well, you know, so is the body of Christ. Every part, every member has a role to play. The body can't function without all its parts working together. You know, MS, multiple sclerosis, appears when the physical members of a physical body acts independently of the body's needs. You know, cancer shows up in our bodies when a human cell acts independent from the other cells. You know, do members of our church depend on one another? Or do we live independently and individualistically of one another? You know, as the church, as the body of Christ, we seek to recognize and to respect other people's giftedness. You see, the true value of a body part is often inversely proportional to its outward appearance. When Paul speaks of weaker body parts in verse 22, you know, I think he may be thinking of parts like fingers and toes. I mean, what's the use of a baby toe? You know, because besides getting stubbed at night when we're going through the washrooms in the dark at night and causing us great pain, what is the use of a baby toe? Can anyone tell me? Is there a doctor in the house? Sorry? Balance, yes. So that we can balance. We can stay upright. It'll be hard to walk, to run, to skip, to swim fast without it. What about an earlobe? What use is it besides, you know, our moms and our dads tugging us and pulling us and causing us to want to listen to them and do what they say? What use is it besides that? What use is it besides women, and I should add on, men also wearing jewelry on the earlobe? My understanding is that the earlobe doesn't have any cartilages, but it has a large blood supply, which can help us help the ear stay warm and also, in some sense, to maintain balance. Now, the less honorable parts in verse 23 that Paul talks about may refer to the internal organs or those that are usually covered up by clothing. They're less visible. They're less publicly acknowledged. Those who have gifts of helps or serving or giving. You know, I thank God for some of you. I really do. I thank God for those of you who, you know, that you come into the church midweek, you know, no one's here, no one's watching, and you're helping to stuff bulletins. You're helping to clean up and tidy up the sanctuary. Do you know how much of a mess you guys make in the sanctuary on Sundays? There are people that come. This is one lady that comes week in and week out just to tidy up the sanctuary. God bless her. You know, those who help people with their finances, those who visit the lonely and the sick, those who pray for us during the week. I just want to acknowledge you. I just want to thank you. Because you play a very important role in how choosing you and shaping you in our church. You know, as well, we seek to relate to and we rejoice with other people's circumstances. You know, whatever happens to the one part of the body greatly affects each and every part of the body. So we're to have equal concern, the Bible says. We're to have equal care for one another so that there will be no division in the church. You know, there's no room for spiritual elitism in the body of Christ. And Paul wants every Christian in the church to value and to care for other Christians. You know, just like the hand bandages the foot when it's hurt, or just like how the mind thinks about and feeds the hungry stomach when we're hungry. Verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. What does it mean for us to be the body of Christ? First, we are one body with many parts. Second, we are interdependent and interrelated. And third, we're to strive for the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? The greater gifts are gifts that edify, the gifts that comfort, the gifts that encourage others, that truly build up and strengthen the body of Christ. There's no such thing as an individual performance in the church. There's no such thing as a solo in the church. No, ministries need the support of various other gifts in the body so as to function properly. And for example, in Alpha, the gift of evangelism is needed. The gift of helps, administration, the gifts of hospitality and cooking are required. And they work together. And those of you who spend part of the week in the prayer ministry, you know, your prayers edify. Your prayers comfort. They encourage. They support so many people during the week. And so, what are spiritual gifts? Yeah, the Greek word is. Actually, sorry, I missed a few slides, but the Greek word is charismata. Now, spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit, distributed to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. What are spiritual gifts? They're special abilities. How do we get spiritual gifts? They're given by the Holy Spirit. Who gets spiritual gifts? They're distributed to every believer according to God's design and grace. And what is the purpose of a spiritual gift? It's for the common good of the body of Christ. Every believer, every Christian in this room has at least one spiritual gift. But no one has all the gifts. And an important way for us to discern our gift is through the body. Not only by what we believe may be our gifts, but by what others in the body confirm and affirm with us are our gifts. And so I want to just quickly go over with you, you know, what are some of these spiritual gifts that we have been given? First, the gift of ministration. This is the ability to organize people, organize tasks or events to accomplish ministry effectiveness and efficiency. The gift of apostleship. This is an ability to start and oversee new churches, new ministries. The gift of craftsmanship. The ability to design or to construct items for ministry. Terry, you have this gift. Creative communication. You know, the ability to communicate God's truth through a variety of art forms. The gift of discernment. The ability to distinguish between truth and error, various motives, or even the presence of evil. The gift of encouragement. The ability to present truth so as to strengthen and comfort those who are wavering in their faith. The gift of evangelism. The ability to effectively communicate the gospel in a compelling way. The gift of faith, the ability to act on God's promises with confidence and unwavering belief. The gift of giving, the ability to contribute resources with great cheerfulness and liberality. The gift of healing, the ability to be God's means for moving people towards wholeness in their lives. The gift of helps or serving. The ability to joyfully accomplish practical tasks that serve others and support other ministries. The gift of hospitality. The ability to joyfully create an environment that welcomes people and puts them at ease. Having a problem with the slide. The gift of intercession. The ability to consistently and passionately pray on behalf of others. The gift of knowledge. Ability to bring crucial truth to the body of Christ through biblical insight and understanding. The gift of leadership. The ability to cast vision, to motivate and direct people to collectively accomplish the purposes of God. The gift of mercy. The ability to cheerfully and practically help those who are suffering. The gift of miracles. The ability to authenticate ministries through supernatural actions that glorify Christ. The gift of prophecy. Having trouble with the slides. Can you help me with that? The ability to relevantly proclaim truth in a way that exposes sin and prompts conviction and repentance. The gift of shepherding. The ability to nurture and guide people towards spiritual maturity. The gift of teaching. The ability to clarify and clearly explain God's truth and inspire growth in Christ's followers. The gift of tongues. The ability to speak or pray in an unknown language. The gift of the interpretation of tongues. The ability to make known the message given by one speaking in tongues. The gift of wisdom. The ability to apply spiritual insight to specific issues that are often in the midst of conflict or confusion. Now, these are some of the spiritual gifts that are listed in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. Just for the next 30 seconds, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and share with them what you think God has given you as your spiritual gift. Will you do that? Just turn to the person next to you. Okay, thank you. What are we doing with our gifts to build up the body of Christ? What are you doing with your gifts to build up the body of Christ? And Paul says in Ephesians 4, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. As pastors and teachers, we're to equip people for God's equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. As pastors and teachers, we're not to do the work of service, but we're to equip people to do the works of service. How do we hurt our bodies? You know, there are many different ways to hurt ourselves, depending on how old you are. We can hurt ourselves very differently. You know, some of you, I've seen you've hurt yourself because you're overly aggressive in sports. You know, those extreme sports that you play. You go all out. Some of you are you're hurting yourself because you're just careless or you're just clumsy. When you get to my age, my stage in life, you can hurt yourself just by bending over and tying your shoelace. How many people can relate to that? I know some of you can relate to that. But usually, we usually hurt ourselves when we're doing heavy lifting. When we're lifting beyond what we're supposed to do. And it's the same, not only with our physical bodies, but with the body of Christ. When one part of your body is doing more than what it's meant to do, it'll hurt itself. But if it does what it's meant to do, then it'll be fine. It'll be all right. You know, some of us are doing far too much, and we will begin to hurt ourselves. But some of us are not doing enough or anything and needs to step up. You need to step in. You need to get involved. You need to get in the game. You know, imagine in today's Super Bowl game. You knew I was going to bring this up, right? Imagine in today's Super Bowl game between Seattle and New England. By the way, who's going to win? Yeah, I thought so. Imagine today's Super Bowl game that on a team with 11 football players, only one or two players, or maybe even three or four only, show up to play. You come and you show up, you're ready to play. And the rest of the six, seven, eight, nine, no, you're just there. You're not going to do anything. You're just showing up. I don't care if you're a star quarterback. I don't care if you play with a slightly under-deflated ball. You know, it's not going to help. You're not going to win the game. A few people cannot be doing everything. The majority of the people cannot be doing nothing. Put in a positive way. God calls all his people to ministry. God calls different people to different ministry. But we all need to get involved in the building up of the body of Christ. Now, this is what's called the every member ministry of the body of Christ, the priesthood of all believers. You know, I wonder what our church would be like if everyone was involved. If we all had our part, and we all did our part, and we used our spiritual gifting from God to build one another up, to strengthen each other. I wonder what our church would be like if instead of doing our own thing, we sought to support one another in ministry. You know, how can one ministry support another ministry? How can one small group support another small group? How can one congregation in our church support another congregation? You know, English-speaking brothers and sisters, how can we bless our Cantonese congregation? How can we bless our Mandarin congregation? Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And are you using them? If you know what your spiritual gifts are, and you want to start using them to build up God's kingdom, well, that's great. That's fantastic. I encourage you, I encourage you to do so. And I encourage you to spend a few minutes outside today after service. They're just going through some of the ministry boards, the ministry displays that we have outside in the foyer. And these will be great opportunities for you just to take a look and to see what are the potential ministries that God may be calling you to get involved with in our church, especially as we're starting out new as a new church at Fraserlands. If there's no ministries there that you feel you're gifted for, write a note, write an email to Pastor Brian or myself. And after prayer, after discernment, maybe we'll start that ministry. But for those of you who don't know what your spiritual gifts are, who want to discover what your spiritual gifting is, we have a class that we want to run from May to June of this year. So in a couple months' time, it's a class called Networking. It'll help you to discover your spiritual gifts, to know how to serve in the body of Christ. And so we want to encourage you to take this. If you haven't taken it before, this is actually a very good course. It not only gives you like a 10-question questionnaire as to what your spiritual gifts are, like some of those online. It's a very comprehensive way of finding out what your spiritual gift is. Not just through what you think it is, but what other people observe of you, what other people discern of you. And when you actually serve, what are some of the ministry fruits that bear from this? And us as leaders, as pastors and elders, we'll love to sit down with you after you've taken this course so that specifically you can know how you get involved and serving in the church. I encourage you to sign up. There's a clipboard at the info counter that you can do so after service. And we need to order some books in ahead of time. So even today, sign up for that so we know how many books to order in. Because there's such a wide variety of gifts, such a wide variety of callings and ministries, we need to help one another to discern, to discover, and to observe and affirm one another's gifts. Now, you can't know your ministry, your gifting, unless you become involved and you start serving. And so we can evaluate the fruit of your ministry. And that'll come. That'll come as you start to serve in the different areas that you may want to try out. When God gifted you, He looked at your uniqueness. He looked at your background. He looked at your temperament and your passions. And He gave you a special gift to bless others with. Are you blessing the body of Christ with the gift God has given you? Or are you depriving the body of Christ of the gift that God has given you? Now, we are, brothers and sisters, the embodiment of Jesus here and now. We're the embodiment of Jesus. We're the hands and the feet of Jesus. And when people look at us, they see Christ. And we're to serve in order to grow the body of Christ. We operate and we cooperate as one unit, as one body together. We as members of Fraserlands Church, we make up the body of Christ in this place. So that, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, verse 12, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Martin Luther King said, "Yes, I see the church as the body of Christ. But oh, how we have blemished and scarred that body through social neglect and through fear of being nonconformists. as I end off this morning, I want to just go beyond a bit. I know we've been talking about the body of Christ locally here as a church, but I want to just expand this a bit because I think we need to expand this a bit. I was just pondering this week. How can we not only be members of our local church, the body of Christ here at Fraserlands, but be also connected with believers from around the globe in order to be part of the universal church, the universal body of Christ, which is also at work in our world? You know, our family just finished watching the movie Selma, which just came out not too long ago in theaters. It's where the civil rights movements and the marches in the United States in the 1960s, you know, could be seen as a powerful force that God was using to battle injustice, racism, and hatred. They named the movie, the director said, they named the movie Selma because it wasn't just about one person, Martin Luther King, but about the community of faith, the community of people, the body of Christ at work in the world. In March 1965, there was a peaceful march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. The protest for the voting rights of blacks who were being denied this privilege of voting, even as U.S. citizens. And so this whole instance, you know, reminds me of how the universal church, the universal body of Christ, can still be a powerful force in our world today. If we all use our spiritual gifts together to advance the kingdom of God, to bring glory to His name.